This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Steve, I trust that you and your family had a good Thanksgiving.
Great, thanks. We were, it's nuts right now. I don't even know what to say. It's try to keep everybody safe and healthy, and no one wants this thing. So try to duck it. It's amazing what the league's doing to try to create a safe environment. Yet, what's their North Star? You know, I was just asking. I just heard that they moved the game to Wednesday, and I said, Just cancel it. Just cancel it and play it if it's needed. You know, just cancel it.
Yeah.
But their North Star is if we can hold this game safely, their protocol safely, it doesn't matter who's going to be there. You might be missing all your quarterbacks? Too bad.
Yeah.
You're missing your whole offensive line? Too bad. If you can field a team safely, protocols, COVID, then we're playing that game. It's an amazing understanding where they're coming from, so you know why they're making the decisions that they are.
Yeah, they don't want to have a Week 18 if they can avoid it. Now, Jerry Dulac, who covers the Pittsburgh Steelers, guys tweeted that Steelers Washington, which would be scheduled for that next Sunday, has been moved to Monday. Which then tells me, Steve, they can even push Steelers Ravens to Thursday if they had to. Because then you'd have the same gap Thursday to Monday that you would have from Sunday to Thursday. So I could still see Steelers and Ravens being pushed even another day.
And it's interesting that they're not worried about what we worry about, right, is watching the Bronco game and going, this is ridiculous.
Right.
I can't believe it. This is not the NFL. Why are they allowing this to happen? You watch that game, you're like, this is stupid.
It's a punishment.
But once you understand the North Star, once you understand that it's, look, we're doing this. This is happening. And if we can field safely a team, we're gonna play those games. Once you understand that, then you quit. At least you know what's guiding the conversation.
Well,
and the decision.
Steve, the North Star is the massive amount of money from television. They want to make sure that there's a Super Bowl on CBS at the end
of
this.
But what I'm saying is off of that is that we're going to play games based on the fact that you just said it's a money thing, like track the money. I get that. But off of that, how do we do that? We're not going to get our schedule screwed up. And if you can field a team, doesn't matter who it is, we're going to play that game. And where we should be, for us, I'm thinking, well, look, I get it for a worthless Broncos-Saints game, but what if it's the Ravens-Pittsburgh Steelers game? Mm. That one feels like it needs to be canceled.
Right.
Because I want Lamar Jackson to play in that game. Like that, but how can you hold that game without Lamar Jackson? And once you realize that doesn't matter, because that's not North Star.
Right. Now, Steve. But also, when I think about it, if the Ravens were compromised because they broke protocol, if the Broncos don't have quarterbacks because their quarterbacks all are in the same room not wearing a mask, then isn't that fitting punishment then? It's like that tells the rest of the league, guys, you don't follow protocol, you're still going to have to play. We're not forfeiting or moving it. If you don't follow protocol and you cause this, then that's on you.
Yeah, and the problem is that whenever somebody gets it, somebody's probably broken protocol, right? And so, luckily so far, it has been small outbreaks, individual teams. Like, could you imagine if 5 teams or 8 teams or 15 teams? I mean, that's what's amazing about what the NFL's pulled off. I give whoever's the COVID czar for the NFL should run the world's response, because it's been amazing what they've been able to pull off.
I'm always amazed, Steve, at how things are accepted in football. Because I started to think, what would happen if a baseball team lost all 5 of its starters to COVID, and then they were forced to play without starting pitchers? Baseball fans would go crazy. Football fans go, football. They just take it. They just watch it. Doesn't matter. Because remember, when they had the replacement players, people watched those games.
We ran the wishbone. Bill Walsh got a bunch of guys off the street, and he said, we can't run my offense because no one's going to understand that in a week. Let's run the wishbone. And you remember, we won all of those 1987 strike games, and they all counted. We went to the playoffs, and then we ended up not getting the Super Bowl, but we won all those games because Bill ran the wishbone.
Right.
We could teach it in a couple of days. But, so, yeah.
But I guess the difference, Michael, is like the Cardinals got hit hard. They just never made up those games. You can't do that in the NFL. You got to play the game at some point.
Yeah, but the Cardinals still only missed two games out of the 60.
Because they had the ability to make them up, play double headers. I mean, when you postpone or cancel a game, I mean, it's how can you imagine not making the playoffs, Steve, because you played one less game than the team that beat you out?
Yeah, so they can't. That's why I would capitulate. What am I? I would capitulate to a week 18, season at 18 weeks. Take that extra week to clean it all up. Now, granted, that might not clean it up, it makes it worse. But in my mind, who cares? Like, if the Super Bowl's played March 2nd, like, fine. But I guess there's big issues in there that's easy to say, and they're wanting to hold that schedule. I'm sure the schedule has huge efficacy, right? Like, we need to hold a schedule for TV and everything else, and that seems to be the North Star as well. It's like, do not cancel a game under any circumstances, because we do not want to slide into a week 18, start to delay the season, and we get into a real jam.
All right. Now, on a more personal note, you're one of the few people that in the coverage of ESPN that travels each Monday. With the outbreak around the country, do you get a little skittish now traveling?
I started that way, and they wanted me to go to New York every week. And I told them, that doesn't work. I can't do that to my family. And what I've done is where I could go privately, and I could figure it out, I have. And where I went to Baltimore, New Orleans, and got on Delta flights to New York twice. And, you know, I've done some traveling. It's been not my favorite thing. I went to Tampa last week. I've been trying to be as safe as I can. But I felt like going on the feeder flights from all over the world in San Francisco and going to New York, those are flights that just collect people from all over the world. I just felt like there's no way I could pull that off. So I've been going to the stadiums, which is less travel, and I could control a little bit more. But, yeah, I've been very concerned from the beginning that I bring it home. And so this is way too much information, but part of my deal was I wasn't going to do three games this year because those were going to be pulled back to Bristol for cost cuts and so forth and so on. And so I was only going to do a number of games, but now I'm going to do them all from my my office, which you'll see in about an hour. I'll be in my office here in Palo Alto doing the show. So I didn't travel this week.
Now that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's great that you're being allowed to do that. And you mentioned Tampa, so let's just talk about football rather than COVID. It seems to me like Bruce Arians doesn't want to give Tom Brady the offense that he had for the last 20 years. He wants to say, you're going to win with my offense. Do you get that sense? And is that a battle that Bruce Arians can't win?
The offense I saw last week on Monday night was a dink and dunk horizontal offense. I mean, it was not explosive. There was no big risks. And any big risk was interception. Right. So I feel like, is that the offense that Arians wants to run or that Tom feels most comfortable with? I don't see the explosiveness that Arians generally wants. I think that they're both very connected. I don't, this idea that the two of them are disconnected is not right. They are connected. I think they've agreed to what they want to try to do. And Tom is very comfortable trying to be 28 of 30 and just find poke holes, and then find something downfield that he can get away with. It is not going to be an explosive down the field vertical passing game, and nor does Tom look like he maybe even capable of it. So I think that I don't sense there's some big rift or problem. Okay. I think it's just them trying to figure out what Tom, because they have as explosive of people coming out of the huddle as any team in the league. They should be exploding on teams, and they're just not. And I don't wonder whether it's Bruce Arians or Tom Brady. I don't think that's the right question. It's like the two of them are connected, and really it's Tom Brady deciding what plays he feels comfortable with, and he certainly wants to do the efficiency kind of horizontal game, and that's where he is right now. So I don't. If you said to Tom, look, Tom, we want you to just air it out deep. I don't know that Tom wants to be doing that right now.
Now that being said. Is there another team in the NFC that you think hands down has a better shot to make it to the Super Bowl than the Bucs?
New Orleans is a better team. New Orleans is the best team. They're carrying a defense. Whenever Drew Brees has a defense, they're dangerous, and he has one. He has four. They got four pass rushers that did the damage to Tom Brady twice already. They've shown they can do it around the league. That's a team that when Drew's healthy and back to speed, whenever that is, That's, to me, is that's the team that's a cut above. Mm. I thought Seattle would, but I can't believe the weight they're dragging around with their defense right now, and that makes it more difficult. Tampa is not as explosive as I thought. They'd get better throughout the season, and that's not happening. So they've stalled, and I don't know why, and they got to figure out. But to me, they've got to figure out how to be more explosive so they can compete. They have a defense that's good but not great. I thought they'd be better. So to me, New Orleans is the cut above. I'm sorry, Drew. Aaron Rodgers is Superman, and every year a week that he's Superman, they have a chance, and probably better than you know, this 80% chance. And that's what happened yesterday, that he was Superman, and everybody responded, and those are the best days for the Packers. Do I believe in the Packer defense? I do not. Do I think that they can win a playoff game? Yes. Can they run the table? I do not think they can. Now, if Aaron Rodgers puts on the triple Superman cape, maybe so. But that's not a team that I would – that's not as good of a team as the New Orleans Saints. And I Seahawks, mm-hmm. and who else are we talking about? The Rams, you can see that, you know, you can see the frustration with a coach who's so frustrated with his quarterback because he finally got – when Jared Goff is good is when they have a top 5-10 running game. In 2018, they had it and went to the Super Bowl. 2020, they have it, and they got a sloppy quarterback, not going to work. So Sean McVay after the game is like, my quarterback's got to be better because he's giving him all the things he needs to be successful, and he's screwing it up. So the Rams can get there, but not with his quarterback's going to put the ball on the ground and throw it in people's hands.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You probably saw how limited the Giants were with Colt McCoy as their quarterback. If they've got to move forward with him for any length of time, Steve, can putting a game plan together specifically for him, a week with the number ones, how much better could he look?
Colt's a guy that's going to need the running game. He's not going to just throw it around, and you've got to be able to run the football so that when he puts it in the back's gut, everyone responds. I mean, it's the classic thing that the play-action guys like Kirk Cousins, you know, even Jimmy Garoppolo, they've got to have that guy, that weapon of the running game. If they don't, Jared Goff. And so Colt's a little bit that way, and so they've got to be able to run the football. Or else, you know, think about him. Sign Colt McCoy to go throw it around 45 times. That's not going to work, you know. I would put him on the run a little bit more. He can move. I would expand that, but it's a tough spot.
And they can't run. The Giants can run the ball.
Yeah, so I think that has to be the way it works. You can see the Giants are getting better. The coach is making a difference. And Daniel Jones, he made some stupid plays and did some things that I'm like, ah! But I'm starting to believe in that kid, that he'll figure out his mistakes and he'll figure out where he screwed up and he'll get better. I'm hopeful for the Giants in the next couple of years, but this year they just got to figure out a way to survive and maybe maybe do what no one could imagine. But I don't. But as a Giants fan, that's thinking that Colt's going to go win the games and get to the playoffs, it's going to be a tough chore.
Now, Sam Darnold again yesterday made a play running to the right sideline, throwing across the body, and for an interception. He's done it like three times this year. Then at the end of the game, you know, I've got to play better. He doesn't put any blame on his coach, which is what a leader should do. But at some point, Steve, do we have to blame him a little bit too, that he's consistently 100%. Making the same mistakes?
Yeah, you can't. That's a classic mistake. That, you know, my wife, who doesn't know much about football, would turn to me and say, why does he throw them across the field? That's so stupid. Like, there are things that, you know, there's subtleties to the game that not everybody understands that a quarterback needs to clean up, but some of them are super obvious. And that one, you know, you can't – the ones that are super obvious and you can't clean them up, that's on you and that's a problem. And that's gonna devalue you going forward. If you think that there's another place for you, that a team's really excited and they do stupid stuff like that, nobody turns and goes, oh, well, let's ignore that because, you know, that doesn't really say much. I've always said good players to great players can clean up the messes, can stop the bleeding, can coagulate the issue that they have on the field. And if you can't, that's a sign that there's a more systemic problem to your game and why you're probably not going to be great. So when you show those things and they're not getting better and you can't stop the bleeding, that's a problem.
Could that be because he's been broken, though? Or is this just a systemic problem with Sam?
He's too young to be broken. If you've been broken, tough year, couple years. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get through. Yeah. But if you're broken, then that speaks for itself. Then it's done. I mean, if you think that that's how mild-minded he is, that he could get broken that quickly, I can't imagine that.
And can you give any logic to, is Gase calling the plays? Is he not calling the plays? It seems convoluted that there has to be like a translator. How much does that affect the quarterback? Like, where are your plays coming from?
Guys, the game should be simple for quarterbacks. It's the innovative guys that this Kyle Shanahan, you hear it every week, Sean McVay's, the Sean Payton's. The game for the quarterback has gotten easier. It's simplified. It is college-like. It is 1-2 run, right? It is cut the field in half. You play a 1-2 game. It's not full field reads. It's not shouldn't be complex. And a guy that can run around and go get the yards with his legs that are available to today's college, I'll call it a college plus game, that the pro game is. Then if you're running a complex scheme for a young quarterback, then I'm telling you, do what Kingsbury doing in Arizona with Kyler. Like, no one can run around like Kyler, but Sam can run around a little bit. Like, he should be able to make it simple, 1-2 reads, and be done with it. If he's got him at the line of scrimmage trying to worry about protection and worry about blitz. I mean, Kyle Shanahan last year when I went through the first 15 with, I went to the game, before the game the night before and talked to the team and went through the first 15. I'm watching these plays, and he's introducing them to the team. This is what we're going to do, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty easy little read, every one of them. And then afterwards I go, Kyle, what about blitz? Because you didn't really talk about blitz. And he's like, oh, no, it's good. It's good against everything. And I'm like, what? Well, sign me up. I'm 50-something. Like, sign me up now. Like,
we keep saying that, Steve.
That's a job I can do. That's a job. Like, that job I can do. And that's what the innovative guys are making it look really complex to the defense and really easy for the quarterback. And so if somehow there's a complex system in the NFL today for quarterbacks, it better be for Tom Brady. It better be for Aaron Rodgers or for Drew Brees. But if it's for some young player, that's a critical mistake.
I'm going to tell you one thing, Steve, because you've hinted at it a lot before. We have to run after this. But if Mike Tyson could come back at his age, you could have quarterbacked the Broncos yesterday. You could have. Without a problem.
Come on, Steve, honestly.
Look, this is not honest because your body doesn't respond. I mean, I go out there, I probably feel great, and I pull a hammy like the first time get out of the pocket. You're like, what is this?
But could you have done better than one for nine?
But exactly.
Let me just tell you, but the idea of sitting back in a play action, in a shotgun, which I never took a shotgun snap in my career. I mean, how jealous am I to sit back there, survey the field, do the RPO, wait for the safety to declare, and then throw the slant or throw the flat that's wide open? Yeah, you could pull that off for a little while, but no, not in reality.
But you never took a shotgun snap? Ever?
I can't believe you never took a shotgun snap?
Never. Not one.
Not in L.A.? Not in Tampa?
Never.
Oh,
Express. Good call. I did. You're right. In Tampa, never in San Francisco. Bill Walsh, his system in his mind was so delicate to the timing that he didn't feel that the shotgun could hold the timing. It wasn't until Mike Shanahan, who was very successful in our system in the early 90s with me, he left for Denver, and John Elway said, screw that, I'm running the shotgun, you better figure it out. And that forced the issue for that West Coast offense to be able to be run from the shotgun, and John proved very quickly that it's okay. And that by the time we could ingest it was too late for me. But the game now is so, I say jealous because I joke about it. It's fun to think about the game coming more to college and more fun for the quarterbacks, safer, easier. Like, that's awesome. It's great for quarterbacks. And, of course, I would want that. That's a great place to be. But, the time has gone on, boys. I hate to admit it.
Dom, one thing though that Steve didn't tell you, the with the Express, that was an annuity shotgun. So it's completely different.
Annuity shotgun.
Yeah.
We'd have to go back. People listening today would have to. We'll have to tell our annuity story another time because it's been a generation since we've
time to reset.
All right. I'm looking forward to tuning into your show because I want a room rate. You know, your office. How does it look on TV?
Tell me if it looks good. Every effort's been made to try to make it look good because I do like to travel from 300 yards away.
Listen, as long as no one compares you to Jeffrey Toobin at the end, you did a good job.
Oh my!
It's a low bar, Steve.
Me off air.
Unbelievable.
I'll text you thumbs up, thumbs down.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, Steve.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.